today's Better Life, Better Business podcast, we're going to have a chat around the traffic light system that the government has put out. Now, I'd like to point out that all information is up to date as of the 27th of October, and it's liable to change. And at the moment, we're just trying to unpack it and give you guys some of the relevant information. So joining me today, we have Ethan, business partner down in Dunedin, and Tanya from Christchurch. Okay, and we are into it. So I'm obviously covering for Stu as he is away, and I'm sure we have to say more about that. And we've got Tanya and Ethan with us. So today's topic is the new COVID protection framework, or the traffic light system as everyone's calling it, which has proven to be an incredibly hot topic in our office today.
Oh yes.
Do we do the podcast? Don't we do the podcast? What shall we do?
In the end, overall consensus was go for it.
Okay, so just before we do get started, we are going to cover the fact that we're going to talk about the new COVID protection framework, which is the new traffic light system, and we're going to kind of unpack some of the information that we've got off the COVID-19 website and kind of how it may or may not potentially affect businesses. However, this is a rapidly evolving situation. There's lots of things going on in the background, so we are literally just working off what we can find on the website right now. So nothing is set in stone.
No.
Is that a good disclaimer? Have I covered my boxes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah? Okay. We'll re-record tomorrow, or we'll just have some
minute changes.
So for those of you that don't know, the new system is going to be taking over from what we're currently in of levels 1, 2, 3, and 4, and it's going to be putting us into a new system which is going to work off green, orange, and red. Traffic lights. Pretty much red means stop, don't have fun, and green means go have fun, and orange is something in the middle.
Stop if you can safely, I suppose.
But it's still a lot more freedom than level 4.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's more freedom than level 4, which I would have, to me that was the whole red. Red is stop, stay home, don't move, don't even breathe the same air as somebody else. And now we're actually still allowed out to some places.
Yeah. So they've highlighted the major points for this new traffic light system are the businesses that only open to vaccinated customers are being deemed as low risk and are therefore being given more freedoms. I'm reading this straight off the COVID-19 website, I'd like to point out. Mm-hmm. They can move up and down throughout these new levels easier than they can with the current levels because they're not directly locking us down as such. They're just making restrictions. So like businesses, retail, public facilities will generally be able to remain open to a certain level for vaccinated people. They just might put in some restrictions around numbers and social distancing. Mm. And then the last point, which is what they've come up with, is if a business or organization or service does not wish to request proof of vaccine, they will have to operate with stricter limits or capacity on space requirements. And they may even need to close at some of the higher alert levels. So I think it's kind of clear what they're doing. They are definitely pushing businesses to operate utilizing vaccine certificates, basically.
Yeah.
But we don't have vaccine certificates just yet.
No, there's a lot of muddy water, of course, that will hopefully become, well, it's only probably going to become clearer and clearer each day. Especially as we get closer to that 90% vaccination rate.
Well, you're the crowd leader down there, aren't you, Ethan, in Dunedin?
In the Southern District Health Board region.
Yeah.
What are you at now?
Well,
in the 70s.
What, fully vaxxed?
So that's
fully vaxxed.
Fully vaxxed. So, yeah. What's your double ratio, your single ratio, though?
Oh, single.
We're 89.
Yeah, we're high. I'm pretty sure we're high 80s. I'm more concerned about double, but
correct. Yeah, me too. We are a bit lower.
It is high. Yeah, yeah.
We're single dose to 82. We've got a long way to go in the Bay of Plenty.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I mean, we're not really here to talk about why each region is at where it's at. But it's always interesting to see those stats.
But I think it is interesting in the fact of So the big announcement from the government, they were talking about, we're going to go into this protection framework when we hit 90% double vaxxed. Now, obviously, there's a massive drive for Auckland, Hamilton, and like the Waikato to get double vaccinated to get into this framework. But right now, you could argue that red is more restrictive than the current level two. So I still wouldn't say there's any particular urgency necessarily for, say, the Bay of Plenty or some areas to get double vax then into the vaccination framework.
Yeah, well, to me,
the new protection framework,
red's possibly level 2.5, 3 in terms of the current framework. I mean, it's obviously it's different, I guess it's a different kettle of fish, but you can liken it to that. And I think the general perception is, and unless I'm on a different page, which I could be, is that if we do get to that 90% vaccination rate, it's probably unlikely that we'll find ourselves in red. But that's kind of like just in case.
So I've got some more information that I kind of decided to pull off. I'm like, I've got all my pieces of paper in front of me right now. You know, it is a real, real hot topic. So they've kind of given a few definitions. So you'll go to red if actions will need to be taken to protect both at risk and protect our health system from being unsustainable with the number of hospitalizations. So the only time that we are going to be going to red is if basically the healthcare system's getting swamped.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that kind of makes sense for everyone's kind of safety, doesn't it? So it's definitely not ruling it out, but that's kind of where they're looking at it. And then the clarity they've kind of got around red at the moment, whether it will change or not, is that if you're a business that utilizes the vaccine certificates, you'll be under restricted levels. So for hospitality, they're talking 100 people, and that's a 1 meter distancing. Gatherings, so weddings, places of worship and things like that will be 100 people, 1 meter social distancing. Events are in that bracket as well. Gyms are in that bracket. And then close contact businesses, which I guess is going to be an interesting one because that kind of needs to be defined further, is utilizing health requirements. However, this is where it gets interesting, isn't it? So if you don't use vaccine certificates, hospitality is contactless only. Gatherings are up to 10 people only. Tertiary education is moved to distance learning. And then events, gyms, and close contact businesses are closed.
Yeah.
So I guess from a hospitality point of view, do you want 100 people in the door or do you want to be working off contactless?
Gee, tough decision, isn't it? But it actually is for some people.
It is going to be interesting because I guess some cafes can't even fit 100 people in. They're on smaller numbers than that. And you might actually find that the issue of trying to enforce vaccine certificates is harder than just going contactless.
Yeah, well, it comes down to a business by business sort of basis, I suppose. Like, so depends on what size you are, what sort of business you are, and I guess also what your client attitude is towards vaccine passports and the regulations in general as to what you really prefer.
Yeah, it's definitely going to become a hot topic, but I also think it is something that businesses really need to get their head around. Like, so coming from the owner of a physiotherapy clinic and like a gym, would 100% be getting behind this? And I think personally I'd be quite relieved to see something coming in from the government, whether it's actually going to be 100% enforceable or it's going to stay in its current format.
Yeah,
we'll soon to find out, but at least the pressure's being taken off the business owner, you know, the direction's coming from the top, which I think does make things easier. I don't know if it's going to make some conversations easier that you're going to have with people, though.
No, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's created a little bit of a rift. Right? Initially, especially created a bit of a rift between those that wanted to be vaccinated and those that didn't. And what's slowly happened with the government regulation is that they've made it more, over time, they made it more and more attractive to get vaccinated in terms of what you want to do. Like, do you want to go to bars? Do you want to travel between regions and all that sort of stuff? Yes, most people do. So most people want to get vaccinated. And now with this sort of discussion being held. If you own a business, you pretty much want to get vaccinated now too, you know? So we're sort of crossing off groups of people.
And that includes their staff as well.
Yeah.
You can't run your business if you don't have your staff there running it. And if they decide that one staff member isn't vaccinated, all of a sudden changes all their business roles.
Well, I think that's the side that's currently under massive kind of review.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I think there's lots going on in the background, hence the reason our HR specialist AJ was like, do you want to have this podcast now? Please wait. And I do kind of get it, but at the same time, there's lots of other things to unpack there, isn't it? So I guess around the staffing, I think that's going to be under massive review. However, but it's like if you actually look at it, what they're saying with a vaccine certificate you can do when we're in red is basically the same as what they're saying you can do if you don't follow the vaccine certificates when you're at green. So they're kind of comparing those two risk levels. So you would have thought for most places, it's a no-brainer but to follow the vaccine certificate at the moment, which is going to present issues in itself.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know, like reading through it, it's, I don't own a business, but I've got two young kids and they are not allowed to be vaccinated currently. So the risk to them going out to places where there's masses of people and unvaccinated people, all of a sudden their chance of getting it becomes a lot higher than taking into a mass of people that are vaccinated. So to me, that comes into play. And that includes going to school. Like, their daughters, well, one's at school and one's not. But, you know, as a parent, you've also got to think of risks to your family and friends and everything as well.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And, you know, I think it's naive to think that isn't going to be in play for a lot of people. So previously, Ethan and I did a podcast and we actually spoke about, you know, be that point of difference. And maybe this is it. I think there's going to be some clarity to come out around what the actual regulations are. And I don't think that's set in stone yet, but normally they're pretty good at following through. So maybe it's actually really embrace the vaccine certificates and push hard for it at the start and show that that's the way you're going as a business. Like, give people that assurance that that's what you're doing.
Ethan, we can't hear you.
Yeah, Ethan, you've disappeared on me. Ooh, I'm sure he had something valuable to say.
Probably. You still can't hear you.
Still can't hear you, Ethan. We'll give Ethan a moment to work himself out.
But that will cause, I mean, some people will be anti a business because they are pro vaccination certificate. There'll be some people set in their ways, rightly or wrongly, that, you know, they don't want to necessarily support a business that is, you know, not inclusive of everybody, looking at the broad spectrum.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's going to be interesting because I'm still on some forums and things for gym owners, and it was really divided.
What was that?
With the mandates coming through around if you kind of want to operate under the vaccine certificate, all your staff have to be vaccinated.
Because
obviously there's quite a few people in that kind of industry that are very health conscious, very aware of what they put in.
Yes.
And I'm not sure they're doing it because of any other random side. They're more doing it from a just straight health point of view. That, you know, they want to give it some time, but then effectively under its current regulations may or may not mean that they're out of a job, which is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I'm not even going to get into the whole HR side of it.
Ethan, you're still out. What's going on, mate?
You're still out.
Let's see if we can find Ethan. Okay, so Ethan has finally made it back into the building to join us, as far as I'm aware. Ethan, thank you.
I'm here.
So we were just talking about Tanya feeling safer as a mum in venues that they are utilising the vaccine certificate. Is that fair, Tanya?
It is fair, yeah.
We then went on and just kind of discussed making sure that you're the point of difference, and maybe this is an opportunity to like just reinforce that that's the stance you're going to take with customers, even though the framework isn't officially finalised yet and there's kind of more rules and regulations to come. You can still be saying, you know, this is the route we're going to go. This is how we're going to kind of be selling it to our customers, you know, and try and build that assurance that that's the way you're going to go. And I guess the danger is the fact that you are going to kind of segregate a portion of your market, the people who are not potentially anti-vaxxers as they're kind of getting branded, but people who are potentially pro-choice.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably the real hot topic coming out of this, isn't it? There's like the people who don't want to get vaccinated as one bracket, but then there's also a wider population, which is, oh, wait a second, they should have a choice, even though I do want to get vaccinated myself. We shouldn't be getting kind of railroaded into one way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I 100% agree. And it's interesting. A lot of people I know, and I'm included in this, from a pro-choice perspective, I was like, I don't think that I should be forced into putting something in my body if I don't necessarily want to. But when the benefits of getting vaccinated, or the perceived ones in terms of being able to actually carry on with life, it's without a lot of choice in the end, you know, regardless of where you stand on your anti-vaccine and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose, you know, the glory of all of this is the fact, I guess, we're in that endemic stage where it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. We can kind of see, you know, green. Oh, that's starting to look like life as normal, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, in that green bracket, if you're utilizing the vaccine certificates, hospitality, unlimited gatherings, unlimited events, unlimited close contact businesses are fine, gyms, unlimited. And even under orange, all of those things, if you're utilizing the vaccine certificate, are unlimited. So really, the only thing that's kind of missing is some free travel through the borders. And we're kind of back to normal, dare I say it, touch wood, cling on to something. We might be able to go on holiday sometime.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Holidays are hard, though. Still can't beat some of those good Kiwi spots. Come on, Dave. You live in one, for goodness sake.
Ironically, I always holiday in the South Island.
Quite wide, to be fair.
Yeah. So it is going to be really interesting. So if you were to kind of draw some top tips together, what are you going to suggest, Ethan? Mr. Business Partner and Accountant, you get to tick multiple boxes.
Yeah. Oh, there's a few things that come to mind, but the first thing would be knowing your customer demographic and regarding where you are in the country, what sort of industry you're in, and what sort of patron you have in your services, because that'll help you to understand how you should communicate how you're dealing with the traffic light system in terms of what you're actually promoting. Are you in an area with clients that you know full well are real supportive of getting vaccinated, and all they want to do is get life back to the way it was sort of 2 years ago, when they wouldn't have to worry about who was vaccinated and who wasn't, and was there any COVID around? But if you're in a place like, I don't know, I don't really want to name certain areas, but maybe, you know, you're in a small town rurally and you know that no one cares much for vaccines and that sort of thing, then you're probably not going to preach, oh, we're fully vaccinated, don't worry about all that, you know?
Yep.
So understand your customers and communicate that accordingly. And following on from that would be, if you are going down the route of vaccination passports and wanting to have a fully integrated system with checking through those, test that sort of thing out and make sure staff are all on board, because they might be putting themselves, or they might be put into situations where they're not, haven't been before, they're not used to having to deal with such a touchy, divided topic like that. I'm sure many of them in the hospitality industries and that are getting used to it now, but you never know.
Yes. Going to be new territory, isn't it? Because, like, do you think some people will employ staff to just do the vaccine checks at the door?
Yeah, quite possibly.
Because, like, you know, hospo, if you're at a bar, you obviously have doormen, don't you? Do you know what I mean? But, like, say a couple of the bigger gyms around here service like 2,500 people. Or is that kind of handled by reception? How would reception feel about having those conversations?
These are the decisions, you know, that you're going to have to make as a business. Do you have the staff, the current staff, that can look after those additional jobs, or is it something that you just, another cost that you need to incur to make sure that you can stay open and have a functioning vaccine passport?
Yeah, and how does that affect your bottom line, I guess?
Exactly. And I go on about it probably on every podcast that we do, but the need to have some kind of forecast, financial business plan. But if you've got that forecast sitting there, very easy to change it based on some different scenarios that your business will experience through either green, orange, or red situations.
Yeah.
Have a play with it. Have a plan.
Yeah, actually, maybe like price in an extra member of staff who is just going to be in that role checking out people's vaccine certificates and things like that, because it could be quite timely, I think, until you kind of, in some positions, kind of get it into a system. And also, it's like understanding, by the sounds of it, like from what you're kind of hearing through the media, and that is that Auckland and Waikato will come out into red. So you are going to be in fairly heavy restrictions straight away, and it's going to be then a point of kind of moving down the scales from that. But I don't know where they'll put the rest of the country. Like, does the South Island go straight to green?
Well, I would have thought so.
I don't know about you South Islanders. I don't know if you can go straight to green.
Should we have a vote, Ethan? Let's have a vote. Like,
I wouldn't worse, though, surely.
I feel like, to be fair, I think Taryn has been feeling this like impending doom. So when's it going to jump over the chimeras to us? But we seem to have dodged it so far.
Yeah.
You got any top tips, Tanya?
Well, I was going to talk about the whole staff kind of part of it out of the businesses, and but Ethan kind of stole that a wee bit from me. But I guess it is making sure that they are fully informed, fully trained for what is coming up. And it is, I guess, across all different parts of the business, all levels of staff, because they will all have to come into part of it, and they will have to buy into your business decision. Because if they're not behind it, then you won't succeed. And a part of your whole forecasting, Ethan, I mean, you add your staffing bit in, or you reduce your amount of turnover. So what's weighing up here? Because your other point is, if you are restricted to those 100 people, or that 50 people, or those 10 people, or contactless, what one is the better outcome for you? And is that the way then you need to look at going for business survival and growth in the future?
Yeah.
This is like, I guess, fairly sweeping, and I guess some businesses will be affected more than others, but we're aiming for 90%, so that means 10% of the population or 10% of your audience is instantly cut off if you choose to go down the vaccine route. Does that mean that 10% of your income's gone, or depending where you position yourself in the market and the type of people that you draw in, is that more or is it less?
But does it? I mean,
interesting.
This is very left field and maybe not relevant, but is there a way to do a wee bit of both? As in, you have those vaccinated people that are in, and if you're hospitality, you do a contactless pickup for those unvaccinated. You know, is there a way that you're not discounting them completely, but the rules are often different for them?
Yeah. Tanya Fernandez, business partner.
What's out coming for you? But there's a way that we don't have to, they're not allowed to have fun, to join in anything, to go places, but their rules will be different, right? So businesses still can find a way to include these people, but it will be a different way. So that extra staff member can be dealing with those people separately, so they're not intermingling with vaccinated versus unvaccinated. You know, there might be a separate area that they go to pick up their contactless delivery, pickups or whatever it might be. There's just, you need to kind of think smartly and think now and maybe adapt now for the future.
Yeah. I wonder if you've just hit the like missing link, because that's one thing that they haven't highlighted in any of the frameworks is, can you kind of divide and do a bit of both, or do you have to go, I'm in or I'm out?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, the whole gym scenario.
Yep.
Like, let's be honest, last time I was in a gym, I was in high school. So that's just a couple of years ago. So just a couple. are there areas, is there a separate area that you can put that 10 limit or whatever it is at social distance with only certain equipment that can be wiped down and have a, you know, certain times that they're in and then they're out and then it has its break period and its clean period before that next group are allowed in? Is that possible?
Dave's going to be loving you. This isn't something that he's brought up in the past.
Oh.
Have you been listening to my podcast? I'm with you. I've got a friend who owns a gym down here and it probably is big enough to do something like that. But I wonder whether you're allowed. It's going to be really interesting.
Correct.
To see kind of the regulations come out. And this is where it's going to get hard, isn't it, on all of the grey. Because what happens with vaccine exemptions? So
you're
not allowed to be vaccinated because of health reasons. I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but I'm presuming they're allowed in. So does that become the new kind of the hot topic?
It will be, I think. And even, you know, the whole schools, which are going back to my schools, it's, you know, distance learning versus going to school. What if you are a child that can't get it for a health reason? Or for some reason you want it, but your parents won't let you get it. What's happening there? Like, where is your choice to get it or versus not get it, as well as what's safe for your peers and who's around you? I don't think they'll have separate classrooms. Like, that's going... There's a lot of schools that can't have separate classrooms. Will they be the Zoom or the whatever it is, distance learning, watching the rest of class?
I personally would strongly hope that doesn't happen. I think the last thing you want to see is too much division.
Correct.
in the community.
I'd agree.
And I guess parts of this already scare me from that point of view. So I guess from unpacking the whole protection framework and the traffic lights, it's key to identify what you want to do as a business and the impacts that that's going to have, and then just start forecasting out some scenarios and then training your staff appropriately. You know, making sure that they're well aware of it and keeping open lines of communication with them, because it is going to involve everyone. And dare I say it, it's going to be like a team effort with your staff or with your business or with your kind of employer to make this happen seamlessly.
Yeah.
And it is going to change as it gets finalized and kind of brought more into the form of regulations and things like that.
And I think there'll be more businesses become vaccinated businesses, like that mandated to be vaccinated for one reason or another.
I do have one other point that I would like to say. We talk about thriving in a COVID environment, and one thing I just want to say is if your business is significantly affected by the different colors in the traffic light scenarios, and say you do have to practice quite severe social distancing and you're only allowed a certain amount of people in the building or whatever it may mean to you. In my mind, I've got a restaurant. And you know that your business is very popular and that the demand exceeds the supply or the amount of people that you can actually let in at a time. And that's obviously hitting your turnover negatively, which is impacting the bottom line. Don't be afraid to increase your prices a little bit to reflect that. You don't have to keep everything the same as it was before the restrictions were in place. If you know that your customers want your product to a certain level where they'll pay a little bit more for it, pass some of the additional costs that you're having to incur, whether that be their extra staffing or extra costs, to make sure that everyone's well catered for, onto them. And I'm sure they can understand that.
Yeah, you don't have to be expected to cover it yourselves. You know, you're not going to survive if you don't.
Yeah.
I imagine we're going to be in and out of this framework for a little while. I think it is hopefully the road towards the end, but I think it's naive to think that you can support it any for too long. Definitely.
Exactly. You're in business for a reason. You're not a servant.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess pretty much that's unpacking the current framework. I'm sure it's going to evolve over the next couple of weeks as we kind of hear more, especially around like the restrictions at the border and how that's potentially going to start coming into play, like reducing MIQ or home isolations. But hopefully this is kind of a good step in the right direction for all the businesses that we've got. Mm. You know, they're starting to get a little bit more clarity around what it's going to look like. I think the only thing we're missing is a date. And I think that's still very much a moving target. But at least it is kind of hopefully doing away with the level four lockdowns, and it's kind of time to start cracking on, I guess.
Yeah.
It'd be good. Roll on summer, right?
I've got some family that would like to get out here for a New Zealand summer again from the mighty UK. Although the weather has felt a bit UK-ish up here recently, a bit drizzly and wet.
Just try coming down south. It's great.
It really is.
I'm down in January. I make my regular pilgrimage, don't you worry. Someone's got to keep you guys in line. Right, you guys got anything final to add, or should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's such a moving topic, you can't.
Yeah, so pretty much keep following it. Start thinking about how it's going to affect your customers and how it's going to affect your bottom line. And I guess just keep up to date on regular information. You can't afford to bury your head, really, is probably the top takeaways, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Filled Stu's boots all right, but he'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Thank you guys later.